we're holding on page 80 in Sanhedrin Os Tzedek Vav. After discussing the basics of the Dalad Mrs. Bastian, then the Mishnayos in this Perek, and then continuing in subsequent Perekim, start talking about who gets the various misses, who gets Stila, who gets Srefer, etc. So in the course of it, it mentions that, as we know, the Torah tells us a person is not allowed to have relations with an animal, and if they do, then the Pasuk says, V'esabahema ta'aregu, not only is the person chayev Stila, but so is the animal. So the Gemara discusses the point. So the Gemara actually gets into the point of a technical discussion, which is not here in Ein Yaakov, about what the reason behind it is. There's two points, one called Takola and one called Kolain. Takola is the idea because a Yid stumbled and did an Aveira because of this, with this animal, then therefore the animal is put to death. Because the question is, the person did wrong, but what did the animal do wrong? It didn't have a choice. So one is because of takala, the other is because of kolain, because of embarrassment that you shouldn't have, that this animal is going to be going around in the street and people are going to say, hey, look, that's the animal that Pliny was niskal al yada. So then after the Gemara talks about the nafkaminas between them and so forth.
And if the person does a proper tshuva, they have to see the stupid animal.
Doesn't matter whether they see it. If they did tshuva, they're still chayv misa regardless. So it doesn't matter. If there was Aiden Vastra, they're still going to be Chayim Misa, even they do Tshuva, because basically on Earth can never know whether their Tshuva is sincere. And as we learned before, anyway, their Misa is part of their Kapara. Yeah. Okay, anyway, the Gemara deals with the details of what's the Nafka Minna between them, so in the course of that discussion, the Gemara brings up the following point. Tanya, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'ashereim tisrifun ba'esh. You should burn their asherus in fire. Now, we're talking about these are when they first come into Eretz Yisrael and they find asherah trees that the goyim worship. And the Torah says you have to burn them. So, Oma ilonis shein oichun vein shosin vein merichin. Now, madach trees that neither eat nor drink nor smell, nor sniff anything. Omra Torah hashtei sroifakale. Yet the Torah tells us that you have to destroy them and burn them and then get rid of them. Horul of Allah Adam takola al yadon. Because a person experienced a takola, a person stumbled through them and ended up doing an aveira through them. So we see, in other words, that takola, we see from this, that takola is the key factor, because by goyim, there's no kola, and they're not embarrassed by the fact that they worship these trees, but there is takola in that the fact is, they did an aveira, as we're now going to talk about, Shev Mitzvah Shneinoyach, one of them being Avodah Zarah, so they were over on that, so the Torah says you have to destroy them. Hamases chaveidim idachi chayim l'dachi misa, then if a person, a human being, causes somebody else to go astray from the ways of life, from the ways of Torah, to the ways of death, And so he convinces another person to do an aveira. He's a mesis, a madiach, etc. Allah has kama v'kama, how much more so that he deserves to be destroyed for that. So therefore, in other words, the point is, the Gemara says, so you see that takala seems to be the key factor, not so much koloin, because by goyim you don't really have koloin, but you do have takala. The Binyan Shloimer of Nosin Maz points out that the point of the Kavah Choymer is, in other words, like this. A person might, Hamases Chaveire, might be able to argue the famous argument, Divra Rav, Divra Talmud, Divra Mishloimer, like we had earlier in Masechta, that the Nochosh could argue such a thing. Hashem says, don't do this. I said, do that. Who told you to listen to me in the first place? So we tell him, look, the tree doesn't have any Bechira Chofshis, and we still destroy it for what it did, so you don't get away with the excuse that he didn't have to listen to you in the first place. Okay. Now, another Mishnah in our Perek talks about among the people who are Chayev Skila is somebody who Birkas Hashem, somebody who curses Hashem. So the Gemara gets into a discussion of dashing Sutin Psukim on the subject. We dashing that B'nai Noyach also to curse Hashem. And so that leads the Gemara into a long discussion of Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noyach. And we know famously for many years, especially beginning in the Mems, that Rebbe Kochtzich in the point that we have to go and publicize Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noyach as much as possible among the Umas Olam. Mind you, when the Rebbe came out with it, there were various Rabbanim of that time who argued against it and said it's going to promote anti-Semitism or whatever. The Rebbe had dealt with it in many, many sichas over and over the years that fakert, we never had the opportunity to in centuries past because, it was enough to try to keep them from converting us. But nowadays, we don't have that issue, and nowadays, but they respect when we stand up for Yiddishkeit, so we have that opportunity and we have that requirement. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tananabana, seven mitzvahs from the Stavu Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach were commanded seven mitzvahs. Dinin. So the first one is Dinin. Now, you have a big machloikus between the Rambam and the Ramban, what the nature of the mitzvah of Dinin is. The Rambam holds that it just means, in other words, they have to have courts to judge people who violate any of the other six. So according to him, in other words, there's no particular thing that the Goyim has to have. So they have to have laws against stealing, for example, because another one is Gezel. But for example, they don't have to have a whole, they can, to a large extent, make up their own legal system as they see fit. On the other hand, the Ramban understands that what it actually means is they're required to follow most of the Dinim Momenus that we have. So most of the details of that they are incumbent on them as well, the Ramban learns. So in other words, basically it would come out a nice chunk of Choshen Mishpat would actually apply to them according to the Ramban. We're going to get into some of the details of it in the Gemara, and we'll talk about soon actually a very interesting tshuva from the Rama on that subject, where he also argues similar to the Ramban that they're chayev in many of the dinim momenus that we are, and he brings a naftamina of it lahalacha that was relevant in his own times. We'll talk about that soon, Des Hashem. Anyway. So that's Dinin. Ubirkas Hashem, they're not allowed to curse Hashem. Vavadis Kechavim, they're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. Vigili Arayas, later on, the Gemara goes into details with each one of these. Not all of them have the same exact parameters as we do. Gili Arayas, for example, the Gemara ends up discussing, we'll have a tiny little bit of it here in Ein Yaakov, but there are many Arayas that are also to us and Mutter to them. There's only a few that are actually also to them. We'll get into that later. Shvichus Domim and killing the Gezel and stealing the Eivim Menachai and not eating Eivim Menachai. Someone once pointed out to me an interesting thing. You know, you have these really big ones over here, Gezel, Avodah Zarah, Arayas, etc. Eivim Menachai, is that kind of thing common enough even to make it into the Shem Mitzvah Menayach? So someone once pointed out to me, you know, nowadays, let's say for example, so suppose you have, you want a piece of meat, so fine, you know, you'll shecht an animal, or, you know, a goy will kill an animal, however, and then, you know, he'll take a chunk that he needs, and he'll put the rest in the freezer. They're not freezers in those days, so what would you do? Normally, you would want to have, you're going to kill an animal for food, you're going to have to make sure that you have a bunch of other people that are ready to buy the meat from you. This comes up in halacha as well, as far as certain halachas in Masechta Chulin and other places. But what if you don't have? So you might very well be tempted. You're going to take your animal, you'll hack off a chunk of meat from it, eat it, and then the animal will continue to live. So it would have been a common enough thing that therefore it makes it into Shem Mitzvah Menayach. So those are the seven. Rav Chanino, Chananya ben Gamliel Omer, Afal Adam Menachai. Not only are they also to eat Eva Menachai, but also blood from a living creature. Rav Chidka Omer Afal Asirus. Rav Chidka says they're also not allowed to sterilize animals or people. Rav Shimon Omer. Rav Shimon says Afal Akishuf. They're also to do magic, black magic. Rav Yosi Omer. Rav Yosi says not just one specific kind of magic. Kola Omer Parshas Mechashif Ben Noach Muzo Olav. All the things that it says in the section about Kishuf and Parshas Shoftim, all of those Ben Noach is warned not to do it. Namely, the pasuk says, "Lo yimotze b'cha," the Eibusha says to the Jewish people, but we're going to see in a minute why it's relevant to the Goyim as well. There should not be found among you mavu bnoyu bite ve'esh, anyone who passes their son or daughter through the fire, which can mean sacrificing them to Geshkes, but we're also going to talk about later in the Masechta the Avodah Zarah of Moilach, which from the Gemara is the implication is they didn't actually burn the children to it; they just had a ritual of having them walk between two fires. Anyway, you're not allowed to do that. Kosim Ksamim, you're not allowed to do Kosim Ksamim, which is a type of magic involving sticks. Ma'unin, which is among other things, Ma'unin has a couple of meanings. It means among other things, deciding what times are lucky and unlucky. Meloshen Ona, it has Meloshen Achiza Seinayim, of sleight of hand, make tricking people into thinking that you did something actually with magical powers.
A lottery thing?
What? No, a lottery ticket. No, a lottery ticket has nothing to do with that.
No. Actually, a lot.
Yeah. So that's Ma'onin, yeah.
You're betting.
No, betting is something else. We're not even talking about betting. One meaning of Ma'onin is a probably. So there's a couple of meaning of Ma'onin. One of them is that a person's Meloshen Ona, that a person says, this time is lucky, this time is unlucky. When you have, for example, the Goyim have the notion that Friday the 13th is an unlucky day, that would be an example of Ma'onin. another explanation of Onan comes up later in the parak, at the end of the parak, it talks about these dinim. Another point, another aspect of Ma'onan is achiza senayim, where a person does something with sleight of hand and makes it look as though he actually did something with magic. How it is nowadays that you have magic shows and they don't violate that. There's some discussion about that. Maybe we'll touch on it later on in the parak, as Hashem. Anyway, that's Ma'onin. Omenachesh, divination, which includes also like this kind of thing is lucky or unlucky, like a black cat walking in front of somebody is an example. The idea of goyim have, again, that's unlucky, is menachesh. Omechashef, and kishuf. So all of these are various types of divination and fortune telling and magic and whatever. V'chover chover, and gathering together various kinds of creatures. Later on, it explains in the parak, like a person uses spells to gather different creatures together in one place. V'shoyel oiv, or he asks by oiv, or v'yidoni, or yidoni. Those are both two different types of magic processes. V'dodesh amesim, or he asks of the dead. So all of those are osur, and the pasuk continues. Ki soyavas Hashem kol oisa eila. All of anyone who does these things is disgusting to Hashem. Or viglala to evas eila Hashem alakacha modish oisa mepanacha. Because they did these disgusting things, the nations in Eretz Yisrael, therefore Hashem is driving them out from in front of you. So in other words, in short, the pasuk is saying the goyim in Eretz Yisrael did all these things, and therefore they're guilty, and now they deserve to be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael or killed, as the case may be, and you're going to take over. Now, so Rabbi Yossi says, now the Torah can't punish somebody unless there's a warning. So if the goyim are being punished for doing these things, then that implies they must be also to do them, so they must be included in their mitzvahs not to do these things.
They do.
Edom we're going to talk about later on, but they don't necessarily need Edom Asra. But in any case, Mephoshim explained, the other Tanoim would say, first of all, not necessarily is it referring back to all these things that they did. It could be referring specifically to Mavr Bno Bitter Be'esh, which is a type of Avodah Zarah. And Avodah Zarah, they're definitely also in, according to everybody. Or the other possibility is that, what it means is they did these things and it led them into actual Avodah Zarah. The Rambam actually says as much. The Rambam brings all these different types of practices as he's certain. He brings them in Hilchos Avodah Zarah and he explains the point is why are they under the general category of Avodah Zarah? Because that's how it was. The priests of Avodah Zarah in those days would do these different kinds of magic and sleight of hand and superstitions and all of that in order to get people to believe in them, and then that way they could fill their minds with Avodah Zarah. So therefore, so one explanation is in fact that would be what the pasuk is saying. The goyim taka were into that kind of thing. In and of itself, they're not also to do those things, but they tend to be a slippery slope to Avodah Zarah, as in fact it was in their case. Next, Rabbi Eliezer or Elazar Omer Afal Kilayim. Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Elazar says also goyim are also to do kilayim. Now kilayim is a very broad thing; it has many different mitzvahs in it. So what parts are also to them? Mutonim b'nei neich lubish kilayim. He says they're allowed to wear kilayim. They're allowed to wear shatnez. V'lizroya kilayim. They're also allowed to plant seeds together as kilayim. Ve'inam asurim ela ba'avos ve'im uva'akovas ilan. So he says Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Elazar says the only thing they're not allowed to do is crossbreed animals or cross-graft trees, because those actually create a new species. A crossbreed, a horse and a donkey, for example, you get a mule, which is a new species. You take a branch of one kind, or you take a branch of a lemon and graft it onto an estuary tree, and you have a new hybrid over there, as opposed to, for example, planting a wheat and a barley seed together, or planting grain near grapes, or whatever, all kinds of things that are also to us, those don't actually create a new species. So therefore, according to him, those kinds of things are mutter to them. There's actually an interesting sikha, actually, where the Rebbe talks about the different kinds of kilayim that are also for us. We have, for example, shatnez is completely mutter. In fact, the kohenim have to wear shatnez when they do the avodah in the mismikdash, as opposed to you have, and then you have the various other kinds of kilayim. We don't have a heter for them, any bismikdash or not. And that, among other things, that has to do with the question of whether you're creating something new or whether you're just mixing together ruchniyistika energies that don't belong together outside the bismikdash, but in the bismikdash it's fine, kind of thing.
The
context of the sicha was talking about why it is that, for example, kohenim wear kilayim in the bismikdash, but for example, you don't say basa b'cholav, for example, is mutter in the bismikdash, and which is also a form of kilayim. You don't say, for example, that you can crossbreed animals to bring us korbanos in the bismikdash. So there's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about the ins and outs of the different kinds of kilayim and what they accomplish, what one versus the other accomplishes. So here Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Elazar is saying that the kinds that are also to them are the kinds that actually create a new species. So the Gemara says, Menahani Mili. Now, where do we know this from? Let's start going through how we know that Goyim are also in these various things. So, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amakra, the Pasuk says, when Hashem first puts Adam in, when Hashem first creates Adam and puts him in Gan Eden, so you have a Pasuk, right? Sav Hashem Alekim ala Adam Lamer, Hashem Alekim commanded the man saying, Mikoil Eitz Agan Ochel Tochel, you can eat from all of the trees of the garden. Now, why is that pasuk now? Why is that pasuk necessary? The main point is he continues and says you're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So all it had to say is Hashem told him don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. Why does Hashem first have to give him permission? You're allowed. Why does the pasuk have to record for us that Hashem first spoke to him and said to him you can eat from all the trees?
So therefore, it's in the imperative.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and in fact, the Ochel Tochel sounds like in the mitzvahs, yeah. So we understand that this pasuk is hinting to the seven mitzvahs that were given to Adam. So let's go through them. Vayitzav Elo Adinin. The word Vayitzav hints at that Hashem gave Adam, and then all of his descendants after him, a mitzvah of Dinin. V'chein hu oimer, the pasuk says, we see that the word Vayitzav is associated with Dinim. Dichtiv, v'chein hu oimer, as the pasuk says, Hashem says about Avraham, ki yedativ, that I know him and I appreciate him, l'man asher yitzaveh, as bonavez besa after them, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they will do, as the pasuk continues, lasa tzedako mishpat. So they're going to do tzedako mishpat, which is, the whole concept of dinim, which is to do mishpat, which is the actual judgment, and tzedakah, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, means sometimes to do a pshara. So therefore, so from that word vayitzav hints at this l'man asher yitzaveh, that it means the concept of dinim. Next, Hashem, when it says Hashem alekim, so the word Hashem, the name Hashem, zu birkas Hashem, that hints that they're not allowed to curse Hashem. V'cheinu oimer, as we find Hashem's name used in connection with v'noikev shem Hashem mois yomas, the pasuk from which we learn that a person who curses Hashem, as Chayim Misa says, one who blasphemes the name of Hashem will be put to death. So they also use the shem Havaya, and in fact, the Gemara had earlier discussed the point that a person is really only chayav if he actually uses shem avaya. According to the Rambam, he's also chayav if he uses shem adnai. He ruins the Gemara to be saying that shem adnai. He's also be chayav. But in other words, the point is, if a person uses other names of Hashem in cursing him, like Kim or Shakai or whatever, he wouldn't be chayav misa. So therefore, the name Hashem therefore refers specifically to Birkas Hashem. Next, Elikim zu avodas kechavim. The word Elikim in that pasuk by Adam refers to that they're also to worship avodah zarah. As the pasuk says, don't have other gods in my presence. So Elikim means that I'm the only God and there's no other. Al ha'adam, the pasuk continues, on the man. So zushvichas damim, that means that Hashem told him, you're not allowed to kill. You're not allowed to kill a fellow human being. As we see that, that's referred to as spilling the blood of an adam. Lamer is a Gili Arayas. The next word in the pasuk, Lamer, refers to that they're also in Gili Arayas. V'chein ho'omer, as we have a pasuk, this time we have a pasuk from Nach, a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Lamer, you say, this is the pasuk previously is talking about the Hashem is talking, through the Navi to the Jewish people and saying to them that you're, as the metaphor used in many places in Tanakh, that you're like the Jewish people are like Hashem's wife and you're being mizana and you're being disloyal and disobedient to Hashem and you're getting in trouble for that. And then the pasuk continues, lamer, so it's said, hein yishalach ishas ishtoi. Now consider if a man divorces his wife, v'holcha me'ita, and she leaves him, v'hoysal ishacha, and then she marries another man, so the pasuk continues, would she be able to return to her first husband? We know the Torah tells us in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei she's not. And yet Hashem says, as much as you've been mizaneh, and as much as you've been disloyal and unfaithful to Hashem, Hashem always wants you back, Hashem always wants you to do tshuva. So we see that lamer is connected with a concept involving arayas. Now, Tosfos points out this exact scenario where a man divorces his wife and she marries somebody else that she's not allowed to return to her first husband, this is not one of the arayas that's also to Bnei Noach. Nevertheless, though, we see that the word lamer is being used in a context involving issues, involving marriage. So therefore, we can use it as a hint for the concept of arayas. By the way, you know, when we talk about Shev Mitzvahs Ne'noyach, each of them really has a lot of sub-details within it. There's actually a Gemara in Cholin that says that Hashem gave the Goyim 30 mitzvahs. And so there are a couple of other, Rav Shmuel ben Chofni Goyin, and one or two other Rishonim discuss and try to bring lists of what exactly are those 30. Because, for example, here we're saying Arayas, and it breaks down into the several Arayas that are also to Bnei Noach. Well, saying, let's say, Avodas Kochavim, there's a number of Dilelum. By us Jews, there are altogether 51 mitzvahs that are included up that Rambam enumerates under the heading of Avodas Zarah. Fine, not all of them are Negeya to Goyim, but of the ones that are, you still have, there are quite a few. So if you break it down like that, then you have many. The difference is, in other words, you know, by us Jews, we say, Rav Zakharish Baruch Hu, Zakas Yisrael, Hashem wanted to give us extra schosin, Lefichach Hirbalam, Terrible mitzvahs, therefore Hashem gave us many mitzvahs. So in other words, a person doesn't do any of those 51 things of Avodas Zarah, then he's getting himself 51 mitzvahs, as opposed to Avodas Goyim, it's one general thing. They have a mitzvah of not having worship Avodas Zarah. One idea being, in other words, because the point of our mitzvahs is that our mitzvahs are meant that we should be accomplishing Avodas HaBirurim in the world. So we have things that we can be Mevare, which are things that we do mitzvahs Asei with. We have things that are off limits because they're from Sholosh Klipos HaTmeis, and those are things that we have an Isser not to have to do with. Whereas by them, it's not so much a matter of Avodas HaBirurim. By them, it's just a matter of Lo L'Toyo Bra L'Shevas Yitzara. They just want a settled civilized world, and all these things break down civilization, and therefore the Avodas doesn't want them to do it. But therefore, we don't have to break them out into separate mitzvahs, and therefore it can just be this one general thing. Don't do Gilei Arayos, for example. Don't do Avodah Zarah with all the subdivisions within that there are. Okay. Anyway, so that's Lamer. Mikol Eitz HaGan, the pasuk continues, from all the trees of the garden, implying Veloy Gezel, so not anything stolen. At that point in history, everything would belong to Adam, because there's nobody else to have it. But the point is, in other words, it actually explains, because Hashem specifically has to tell him, you can eat from the trees of the garden, meaning, in other words, they're hefker, they're free for you to take. That implies, if Hashem had not said that, they'd be off limits to him. Therefore implying that they're not allowed to do gezel. And when he finishes off, ochol toichol, when Hashem says, you can eat, ochol toichol means whatever is edible, you can eat. So therefore, the v'loy eivim menachai, so that means not eivim menachai, because eivim menachai, because a living animal is not meant to be eaten. A living animal is meant to be that you're gonna breed it and have more baby animals born from it. So therefore, so to eat a piece from it would go against ochol toichol. You're not eating something which is meant to be eaten. Now, Tosfos brings up the point that the Gemara later on mentions that Adam was not allowed to eat meat b'chlal. So then why is it relevant to have a mitzvah of Eiv Menachai if you can't eat meat anyway? So Rashi later on in the Sugya explains that basically that's what it is. In other words, he's not allowed to kill animals, but he's also not allowed to take a piece off a living animal and eat it. Tosfos says a little bit differently. Tosfos learns Adam would have been mutter if an animal dies on its own. Adam would have been mutter to eat from it. What the Torah is telling him, and what the Hashem is telling him, then is, you're not allowed to kill them for food, you're also not allowed to take a piece off a living one, but if it dies on its own, gives them to hate, you can eat from it. Later in the Perek, by the way, it mentions that there were malachim serving Adam meat, and the Gemara asks where that meat come from if he's not allowed to eat meat. Now there, the Gemara doesn't give the answer that it was from animals that died on their own, because Marsha, I think, explains that we're not going to assume that malachim are going to be dealing with roadkill and with animals that died on their own or whatever and serving that to Adam Rishon. So therefore, the Gemara wants to find a different source for that meat. But yeah, okay. With that said, though, that Rambam Taka, when he brings this point, that Rambam, based on a Medrash, actually says that Adam Rishon was given only 6 mitzvahs, and then the one of Eiv Menachai was first given to Noach. So all of that is one way of learning the 7 mitzvahs of Noach from this pasuk. Then the Gemara says that was Rabbi Yochanan. He also Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, when Rabbi Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, Tommy Ipcha, he taught that the other way around. He taught we flip around two of these limudim, and we learn the mitzvahs from them in a different way. He says Vayitzav Zavodas Kochavim Elikim Elu Adinim. That the word Vayitzav hints at Avodah Zarah, and Elikim refers to dinim. So the opposite of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Vayitzav is dinim and Elikim is Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yitzchak learns the other way around. So the question is, how did he get that? B'shlema elikim edu adinim, to say that elikim refers to dinim, dichtiv, we can say that because we find the word elikim used in connection with judgments in Beis Din. V'nikra balabayis ala elikim, as the pasuk says, the balabayis, talking about a case of shoymanim, but you have other examples like that also, has to come close to elikim. At the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara in fact explains that elikim means actually dayonim, who have the original smicha ish mipi ish. Only they are designated with the title Elikim, and they're the ones who can judge Dinei Knossos, etc. So we see that Elikim is used of Dayanim. So even though in the Pasuk with Adam, Elikim refers to Hashem, but we can use the word also to darshan it to mean human judges as well. Ela Vayitzav Zor Avodas Kochavim Mayim Mashma, but where do we get that Vayitzav should refer to Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara says Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi argue where we get the idea that Vayitzav means Avodah Zarah. Chad Oma Mehocha. One of them says we can derive it from the pasuk by the eagle, by when the Jewish people made the eagle. Soro Mahim and Aderech Hashet Tzivisim. They've quickly turned away from the way that I commanded them. Also Lahem, and they made for themselves an eagle. So we see that Hashet Tzivisim. So we see therefore Vayitzav would refer to don't make yourself getchkins. The other opinion brings from a pasuk in Hosea. Oshuk Ephraim. Ephraim is being harassed by his enemies. Ephraim meaning the kingdom of the Aseret HaShevatim is often called Ephraim because their first king, Yerovam, was from Shevet Ephraim. So Ephraim is being harassed. Ritzutz Mishpat is being crushed in judgment, again, by his enemies and by Hashem. Ki hoyel holach achret tzov, because he decided to follow tzov. So tzav means command. So it means, in other words, he follows the commands of Nevi'e HaBaal, who tell him to worship the Baal and worship other getchkes in this and this and this and that way. But we see, in other words, the word tzav, there, that's the word tzav, so refers to Avodah Zarah, and therefore we can say that Vayitzav Hashem Elokim is hinting at that point as well. A couple of interesting things in that connection, actually. Binyan Shlomo points out, he has a long arichus about what the... why would we say that Vayitzav refers specifically to Avodah Zarah? There's many mitzvahs of which it says that Hashem commanded. Why would Elokim refer specifically to Dinim when we have again other psukim that refer to Elokim? So he explains among other things that since Vayitzav is the first thing in the pasuk, we would assume that it means the most fundamental mitzvah, which is Avodah Zarah, which is like the fundamental thing of all Loisa says. We know that, in fact, of the Aseres Hadibros, Lo Yilcha is the source of all the mitzvahs Loisa says. On the other hand, why would we say that it refers to Avodah Zarah rather than Dinim is because we would say, after all, Elokim in the Pasuk by Adam means Hashem, why should we take it and use it to mean human judges, like in the word Vinikra Balabais Elokim? So therefore each mandama has a reasoning behind his logic. Al Pikabola also, there's an interesting idea, Rabbi Yitzchak, that Rabbi's father brings in a few places. It's brought in Eitz Chaim that there are different, we know that there are different names of Hashem that represent the different spheres, and you also have different combinations of Hashem's name that give the chayos to the different olamas. You have one combination for Bria, and another one for Yitzira, and another one for Asiya. The combination for Asiya is the names Kael and Adnai. Hail and Adnai, the Gemara 31 and 65, the Gematria of them together makes 96. Now in Olam Asiya, you also have, it's a world full of Klippas. So therefore, so you have that the forces of Klippas, including and most greatest of all, Avodah Zarah, the greatest Klippa of all, are represented therefore by the word Tzav. There's a place for them. There's the fact that they have Metzius and are able to exist is because the Eibishter created our world which is powered by Kael Adnai. And therefore our job is to overturn that and to get rid of Tzav and to reveal Kael and to reveal Kael Adnai in our world. Only the Levi could come up with that kind of thing, yeah. Now, there's a fascinating truva from the Ramah that he talks about this. So again, there's the question of what exactly does it mean that Bnei Noach are Mitzuva ala Dinim? So he says this point of whether they're actually chayev, as we have the machlokas of the Rambam and the Ramban, about whether they're chayev in basically the same dinim omenus as we are, or not, may depend on the two manda omers over here, where we're learning dinim from, whether we're learning it from Vayitzav or from Elokim. Because if we learn it from Vayitzav, and we're saying that because Avraham, ki Yitzaves, Bonaves, Besa Achrab, very well, Adam, though, is before Matan Torah. So therefore, all the dinim momentus that we're familiar with, fine, Adam, Avraham may be keeping them on his own, he was Makayim Kola Torah Kola, but nevertheless, they're not binding on him and his descendants yet. So therefore, we could say, it says the Ramah, if we learn from there, then it means they're not chayev in dinim momentus of the kind that we are. They can make up their own dinim momentus as long as they have some kind of judicial system. Mashenkin, if you say that you learn it from Elokim, and we're learning from the Pasuk, Nikra Balabais Elokim, which is after Matan Torah, then it would mean, says the Ramah, that it means they're chayev in much the same dinim momentus as we are. Now,
for instance, they had their own rules. You're not allowed to give money to a poor person or whatever it is. So that's against
humanity against
so they're on the Foshim. They're on the Foshim actually who talk about that Bechlal, what would have been the nature of the Maratz Chayes, I think in particular, talks about that the whole here was saying that they were given to Adam, and the question is how do they go from generation to generation from Adam until Matan Torah. So he actually has an argument in this connection. It can't be that they're actually literally chayiv in them all the time. He argues that we have the Rambam tells us they're chayiv in them only because the Eibishter gave them to Moshe at Har Sinai, implying that until that they're not really chayiv. And he has a whole arichos about it. He says that basically it was, these were accepted things among them. It was accepted as a human nature, human common sense tells you that these things are going to destroy the world, and therefore you can't do them, and therefore we can find, therefore the Eibishter could punish people for violating them. And we find in a similar vein, for example, there's a sicha that Rebbe talks about when Yaakov confronts Lavan after he gave him Leah, and he says, Loma rimi sonny, why'd you trick me? What do you mean? Lavan could say, why did I trick you? Why not? It's not also for me to trick you. It's not one of the shevnitzes in Enoyach. But the point is, in other words, it was an ungenumina thing. It was an accepted thing by humanity that you don't do such things, and therefore Yaakov.
Addressing that point.
Yeah. So therefore says the Namarat Chayes makes a somewhat similar point about the Shemitzes Nenayach in general, that maybe before Matan Torah they weren't actually 100% higher than them. Anyway, that Amar goes on to say, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, who learns it over here, that Elikim, Elo Adinim, and in turn, how do we know that Elikim refers to Dinim is from a pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim, which is after Matan Torah, then he says it would mean that Goyim are actually Chayav in basically the same Dinim Momenus that we are. And now that Amar brings the reader, Amar, right, and says, wrote this Truva in connection with an event that happened in his times. In his times, there was the Maran Padua, was a Rav in Padua in Italy. He was actually a relative of the Ramah. He had published by a Goyish publisher in Venice, he had published a new edition of Rambam to say with his own Chidushin. Then another Goyish printer there in Venice pirated it. So now the Maran Padua wants to get Rabbonim to ask her that nobody should buy this pirated edition. And one of the ones he wrote to on this was the Ramah, and the Ramah does this whole analysis and concludes that yes, Goyim are chayiv in much the same, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, and the Ramah explains there's reason to say that Halacha should be like Rabbi Yitzchak, and therefore that would mean yes, they're chayiv in much the same dinim mamonis as we are, and therefore yes, the same kind of thing, as a Jew wouldn't be allowed to be masig vul like that, neither is this Goyish printer. And therefore, Taka, we should uphold what the Maran Padua wants and not allow this new edition to be sold. The upshot of it actually was kind of unfortunate. The upshot of it was that eventually this other Goyish printer wasn't going to take it lying down. He went to the Goyish authorities. Eventually they decided, you know what, we don't want to hear from either of you guys. We'll just go and order that all the Sfarim in Italy be burnt. And Rosh Hashanah, a year or two later, many, many, many Sfarim were burnt in Italy. And for many years after that, the person was also there to even have a Gemara in his house. So, yeah.
Use the 1500s?
We're talking mid-1500s, yeah. All right, getting back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'adinim b'nei noyach, if good. You're telling me that b'nei noyach are commanded about dinim? And we said, fine, you learn it from Vayitzav, or you learn it from Elikim, as the case may be. But V'hotanya, we learn it in a Braisa. Esse mitzvahs nestabu b'nei Yisrael b'mora. The Jewish people were given 10 mitzvahs in Mora. Sheva shekibul aleim b'nei Noach. There were the 7 that b'nei Noach had already accepted on themselves. V'hosifu aleim. And then they added to them, dinin v'shabas v'kibud aveim. So we see that dinim wasn't incumbent on b'nei Noach until now, because now we're saying it was given to the Jewish people the first time in Mora. And how do we know that? How do we know those three? So dinin dichtiv sham sam loy choik o mishpat. The pasuk says by Mara, there Hashem gave to Moshe a choik and a mishpat, which we understand. Therefore, that mishpat means that Hashem gave them dinin mominus. In fact, actually, there's an explanation here. Our Gemara just mentions these three: dinin Shabbos, kibud aveim. There's some medrash that also says that they were given at that time the mitzvah parah aduma as well, and we learn that from the word choik. But Or Gemara is not taking that. Or Gemara is just saying that it means dinim mominus. And then Shabbos the kibud avayim dichtiv, because we find by the second dibris in Parshas Vos Chanan, kashet tzivcha Hashem alekecha. By both of those mitzvahs, Moshe says to the Jewish people, as Hashem commanded you. Now, Rashi points out he can't be just telling them as Hashem commanded you 40 years ago at Har Sinai, because then there's he's not making up his own words over here in Parshas Vaschanan. He's repeating the words that Hashem told them at Matan Torah. Al derech like we have in Vaschanan, you have Shomer, and in Yisra, you have Zohar, and we know that Shomer v'Zohar v'Dibur Echad. So the same thing, when it says Kashet Tzivcha Hashem Alekecha, it has to be that at Matan Torah, Hashem is telling them as Hashem commanded you. Now, when would that have been? At Mara. So therefore, we see that they were given those mitzvahs at Mara. And the Tosfos wonders, what about Givan Noshe? What about Mila? But in any case, the point is that the Gemara is saying, we see that dinim were first given to them in Mara, so how could they be part of the Shem Mitzvahs to them? And the answer is, Rabbi Yehuda Kashet Sivcha B'Mara. Rabbi Yehuda clarifies what it means, Kashet Sivcha Hashem Alekecha, as Hashem commanded you in Mara. So the answer is, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Lo Nitzvucha L'la Eda V'Edim V'Hasra. What it means is the concept of dinim existed before that they have to have courts to judge people according to the Ramban, and to have a whole dinim momentous system similar to ours according to the Ramban. But now what was added at Mara is that you need Ega, that you need a minimum size based in, the concept that was talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, that for Dinin and Foshis, you need at least 23, because you need Ega Shefetis, the Ega Matzelis, you need at least 10 Dayonim who are more likely to vote to acquit, and at least 10 who are more likely to vote to convict, and then you have a couple of extra because of certain technicalities over there involving a supermajority and involving not having a deadlock based in, etc., so you wind up with 23. 23. That's the point is, we learn that from the fact that the Torah says Eda, Veshoftua Eda, Vitzilu Eda. So that concept was brought, Hashem brought in Mara. The Edim, and the fact that you need Edim, the fact that you can't just have one aid. Later on, in the Sugya, the Gemara explains that a Ben Noach can be executed based on only one aid, and only one Dayan. You don't need 23 Dayanim, and you don't need two Edim. The Hasra, and the fact of Hasra, you asked him before, Menachem, about Hasra for Goyim. So now we're saying Hasra came in by Mara. Before that, there was no concept that you need Hasra. So the Gemara says, Yehochi Maivo Sifu Aleim Dinim. But okay, in that case, then why is the expression that they added to them dinim? These are not dinim themselves. These are mitzvahs for the dayanim of the procedures of Beis Din. Dinim suggests that they got something new as far as the dinim themselves. So Ella Amar Rava Lo Nitzuchel Dinik Knosis. Fine. So Rava says you're right. What it means is what was added in Mara was Dinik Knosis. The fact that the fact that sometimes you have a person is made to pay a different amount than the actual amount of the damage. Tashlum Kefil, Tashlum Abba Hamisha, the 30 sloyim that a person pays if his ox gores somebody else's eved, 50 sloyim for an onus, for mafata, etc. All those kinds of things, either where it's a fixed amount or where it's a different amount than the actual damage, are called dinik knosis. Those you don't have bnei noyach, because if we're going to learn, we said from before, from asher yitzaves bonaves beisa achrav lasis tzedakah u'mishpat. So tzedakah u'mishpat means that they should be doing regular dinim and they should be doing pshara. But the concept of knas, that's neither of the above. So that was added in Mara. Okay, the Gemara says akati voisifu bid dinim miborilei. Still, and what do you mean? Sifu alein dinim would suggest we have something, a completely new concept of dinim. All we have is there's a detail within dinim. Until now you have dinim, and now you have a particular kind of din that was added, the concept of dinik knosis. Elo amar Rav Acha b'Yakov lo nitzruchal lohoshu based in hopelach hopelach of hol ir v'ir. It means that by Mara, Hashem gave the Jewish people a special mitzvah that now they have to have dayonim, they have to have a beis din in every district and in every city. So the Gemara asks, "Vatanya, v'habnei noach le'ifkud." So what you're telling me is, "Nei noach do not have the mitzvah of doing that." Vatanya, we learn in a brisa, "Kesheim shenitzavu Yisrael lahoshu batedinim b'chol pelach b'pelach b'chol ir." Just as the Jewish people have a mitzvah to have batedinim in every district and in every city, kach nitzavu v'nei noach lahoshu batedinim b'chol pelach b'pelach b'chol ir. V'nei noach have exactly the same requirement. So then, what's the difference? Ela Amar Papa or Rava, you know what? Hi Tana, when the Tana before said that dinim were added in Mara, implying that Bnei Noach were not commanded in them, we are talking about the actual dinim. But Hi Tana, Tana Dvei Menashehu, the Tana of that Braisa is a Tana from the Yeshiva of Menashe, the Mapik Dach V'Ayosach. he takes out of the list of seven mitzvahs that we had before, he takes out two of them, dach, which stands for dinim, and birkas Hashem. He holds that goyim are not mitzvah in those. And instead he puts in Samach and Chof, which is Sirus and Kilayim. So before we had Reb Chibka saying that Goyim are also to do Sirus, to castrate animals or people, and we had Reb Eliezer or Reb Elazar saying that they're also in Kilayim, in certain kinds of Kilayim. So now Torah Dvei Menashe holds that those are actually part of the Shev Mitzvah Neneach. So he doesn't have Dinim in his list. So therefore he can well say Goyim are not Mitzvah on Dinim, and only Jews were Mitzvah on them only in Mara. The other Tanoim would hold that Dinim were not, in fact, added in Mara. They Taka might hold that maybe it was Parah, Druma, or some other mitzvah that was added in Mara. The Tana Dvei Menashe, as in fact, the Tana from the Yisrael, as Tana Dvei Menashe teaches, Zayin mitzvah since Zabu Neneach. Aber es lechobim v'gilar ayus v'shvich z'damim v'gezel v'evim v'nachai. So those five are the same as the list we had before, but then he adds v'sirus v'kilayim. So therefore, so he has a different list. Now, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Odom Rishon when it's Tzabe Ela Alavad is Kechovim Bilvad. Odom was not even commanded all these mitzvahs that we talked about before. The only one he was commanded was against Avad Zara. Because, you know, the Shenema, by Tzav Hashem Alekim Al Odom, Hashem Alekim commanded on the person, on the man, meaning Hashem commanded him, I am Hashem, I am your God, don't exchange me for any other. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Odom was not commanded in the other mitzvahs B'chlal. Now, Tosfos points out, of course, he said he was also to eat meat, and he was also to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But what we're talking about is mitzvahs that were given to him that were going to be for his descendants for all times. So the issue of eating from the Eitz Hadas was only for him and Chava. As we know, it was only for 3 hours anyway. The mitzvah of eating meat was only until the Mabul. So of mitzvahs that he was given that are meant for future generations as well, the only one, says Rabbi Yehuda, was Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira ma'afal birkas Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says he was also commanded not to curse Hashem, because that we can learn from the word Elokim. Elokim loisakalo, which means, among other things, later in the parak, it talks about the word Elokim loisakalo, means don't curse a Dayan, etc., but it also means don't curse Hashem. It's one of the sources for the Isser of birkas Hashem, so therefore, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says that also applies to Adam Rishon. The Yeshem ma'afal adinim, and then again, Yeshem that he was also commanded about dinim, which again we would learn from Elokim. So we have several different opinions about what mitzvahs Odom was given in the first place, and again, we do have one opinion that Dinim was b'chlal not chal on them, and only by Mora was that first given, and only to the Jewish people. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Yud Gimel Tammuz, part of the Chag Ha'Gola. In the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Jewish people were all in one place in Eretz Yisrael. And from there, the light of Torah spread out to the whole world, milamayla lamata. So we were accomplishing Gira lo yisparach, as it should be, the Shlemus HaGula, the Osir Lovik, where we didn't have to go to various places in the world. The world was coming to us, basically. Then Bizman HaGolos was scattered every year and every person in their own place. And that's this way we accomplished Birurim in the world in every place, milamata lamayla. Now, up until recent times, this was all only in Chatzi Kadar or Eretz Elyon, only in the upper half of the globe, which is where Matan Torah actually took place. There's a letter where the Rebbe wrote to, where the Rebbe asked the Friedrich Rebbe, what do you mean that it says in Chassidus that Matan Torah only took place in Chatzi Kadar Elyon? What do you mean? It doesn't mean that Torah doesn't apply in Chatzi Kadar Tachton. And the answer is basically that of course it applies, but it's only like in a way of Ur Chorzer. It's only like an indirect reflection of there. It wasn't really such a direct thing. So it means, in other words, the Matan Torah, so in other words, Torah applies everywhere, but in other words, the Matan Torah would find the upper half of the globe, the half centered on Eretz Yisrael, but to be Mavara, the lower half of the world, the Americas and Australia and whatever, required that needs a whole different type of avodah. So now, as we come closer to the Gola, then Jewish people have come in large numbers to Chatzi Kadar HaTachton, and now we work on being Mavara this part of the world as well. Continuing with halachas of tzitzis, simon yud tes in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch. You have a mitzvah to put tzitzis only if you're going to be wearing a garment. Asher techasa bo, as the pasuk says. If you're not planning to wear a garment, you don't have to put tzitzis on it. So therefore, so do you make a bracha when you put the tzitzis on the talus? You do not. You do not have to make any bracha when you're making them, because the mitzvah is not accomplished when you make them, only when you actually put it on. So later, Simon, the Altadeva, talks about should you say Shechianu at that time. So also not. What you do is you make Shechianu. So in principle, you would make Shechianu when you actually buy it. But we'll talk about later on in Simon Chavdeis about that. Anyway, though, if you make a talis for Tachrichim, so even if a person might sometimes wear it when he's alive, that also, you don't have to put tzitzis on because it's only meant to be put on when the person is potter from tzitzis. So again, it's like a nighttime garment, and we learned that, and we learned in the previous siman that's potter from tzitzis. Now, those who hold, as we learned in the previous siman, that you do have to put tzitzis on night garments. If you wear it by day, well, then the same thing. If a person were to put on Tachrichim, or the talis for Tachrichim, while he's alive, the taka would have to make a bracha on it. So therefore, may put tzitzis on it, but again, you don't make a bracha on it if you wear such a talis.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.